Welcome back. This is an advanced Ableton Live lesson on low mid pressure design for old school DNB vibes. We're talking that classic jungle and early 2000s drum and bass bassline energy that feels loud and chesty, even when the sub isn't slamming your meters. Here's the big idea. Old school basslines don't win purely with 40 to 60 Hz. They lean hard on the low mids, roughly 120 to 400 Hz. That's the pressure zone. That's the push that translates on small speakers, in cars, and at low listening levels. Today you're going to build a two-layer bass system where the sub stays stable and clean, and the pressure layer does the talking, the rolling, and the attitude. Before we touch a synth, quick setup so your decisions actually translate. Set the tempo somewhere in the 168 to 174 range. I like 172 for this. And make sure you're not designing bass in a vacuum. Get a kick, snare, and some hats running. Low mid pressure is all about how the bass relates to those drums. Finally, gain stage. Keep your bass channels peaking roughly around minus 12 to minus 6 dBFS before any master processing. You want headroom, because you're going to use saturation and compression on purpose. Now we build layer A, the sub anchor. Create a MIDI track called bass sub. Load operator. Use algorithm A only, just oscillator A. Set it to a sine wave. This is your foundation. You don't need a bunch of harmonics here, you need consistency. For the amp envelope, go instant attack. Set decay somewhere around 150 to 250 milliseconds depending on how plucky you want it. Then keep sustain pretty low. Old school subs often bloom and then get out of the way, so try sustain all the way down, or maybe up to minus 12 dB if you need more hold. Release around 60 to 120 milliseconds so notes don't click off. Now clean up the sub with a simple chain. Add EQ8. Do not automatically high pass the sub. If you don't have a real problem, don't create one. If it's boomy, do a tiny dip around 60 to 80 Hz, 1 to 3 dB, a gentle cue. Then low pass at 120 Hz with a steepish slope, like 24 dB per octave. The point is, this channel is sub only. After that, add utility, set width to 0%, mono, always. Then adjust gain so you're sitting with headroom. That's layer A. Stable, boring, reliable. Exactly what you want. Now layer B, the pressure layer. This is the whole lesson. Create a second MIDI track called bass pressure. We'll use Waveedable for a very stock, very controllable approach. In Waveedable, choose basic shapes and go to a saw wave or something slightly rounded if you want it less brash. Keep unison off. Old school roll like stability, and facey unison can smear the low mids fast. Turn on the filter. MS2 or PRD are great for character. Start cutoff around 250 to 500 Hz. Add a little resonance, maybe 10 to 25%. Here's the warning. Pressure is not whistle. Resonance is spice. If you hear a peak note that sounds like it's trying to become a lead, you've gone too far. If the filter model has drive, add 2 to 6 dB. Set the amp envelope. Attack at zero. Decay around 180 to 350 milliseconds. Sustain somewhere around 0.3 to 0.6. Release around 60 to 150 milliseconds. Now we add movement, but we keep it disciplined. Use LFO1 to modulate the filter cutoff. Sync it to 1/8 or 1/16. Choose a sine or triangle. Keep the amount small, like 5 to 15%. You're aiming for rolling motion, not a wobble bass. Optionally, use a second envelope to hit the filter with a faster decay than the amp. That gives a little wah at the front of each note, which reads very old school when it's subtle. Cool. Now we do the part that actually creates low mid pressure, distortion that makes weight, not fizz. On the bass pressure track, add saturator. Set it to analog clip. Turn soft clip on. Push drive anywhere from 3 to 10 dB. And don't stare at the knob. Listen for thickness to appear around 150 to 300 Hz. That's the moment where the bass starts to feel like it's pushing air. Then do the grown-up move. Trim the output so the saturated signal matches the bypass level. Level matching is how you know it's actually better and not just louder. Advanced move inside saturator. Use the color section. If you enable it, set the frequency somewhere in the 200 to 400 range and add a little depth, like 1 to 4 dB. Think of that as biasing the pressure zone. After saturator, put EQ8. High pass the pressure layer around 90 to 120 Hz with a 24 dB per octave slope. This is non-negotiable. Your pressure layer is not allowed to compete with the sub anchor. Even if you think it sounds cool soloed, it'll cause phase fights and mud when layered. Now shape the push. Try a gentle bell boost, 1 to 3 dB, around 160 to 280 Hz. Keep the Q moderate, around 0.7 to 1.2. If things get cloudy, cut a little around 300 to 450 Hz, 1 to 4 dB. That's where boxiness and cardboard bass live, and it's also where your snare can get stepped on. Then low pass somewhere between 1.5 and 4 kHz. Old school bass doesn't need bright top to feel loud, it needs controlled harmonics. Checkpoint, solo the pressure layer and listen quietly, not loud. Quiet, at low volume, it should still feel forward and solid. If it turns into a thin mid-range buzz when quiet, you're not building pressure, you're building noise. Now let's make it roll with the drums, because pressure without groove is just a lump of tone. Add a compressor on bass pressure. Turn sidechain on, and choose the kick as the sidechain input. Ratio 2:1 to 4:1. Attack. Do not set it to 0. Use 10 to 30 milliseconds so some of the bass front edge gets through. That little bit of transient is perceived loudness. Release. 80 to 160 milliseconds, and you tune this to the groove. Too fast and you get obvious pumping. Too slow and the bass feels like it never recovers. Set the threshold, so you're getting about 2 to 5 dB of gain reduction on kick hits. Optional. You can sidechain the sub too, but keep it gentle, like 1 to 3 dB of reduction. The sub is the floor. If you overduck it, the whole track feels hollow. Here's a very DNB specific trick. If your kick pattern is sparse, make a ghost kick. Put a muted kick pattern on steady quarters or eighths and use that as the sidechain key. This creates consistent breathing, so the bass rolls even when the actual kick isn't hitting. Now we glue the system together. Group bass sub and bass pressure into a bass bus. On the bus, start with EQ8 for pre-glue cleanup. If the combined low-mid feels too dense, try a wide cut of 1 to 3 dB around 200 to 350 Hz. If you want more chest and front, try a wide boost of half a dB to 2 dB around 120 to 180. Wide moves only. If you start doing surgical boosts here, you'll chase your tail. Add glue compressor. Ratio 2:1. Release on auto. Attack either 3 milliseconds for tighter control, or 10 milliseconds if you want a little more punch and openness. Set the threshold for just 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction on the loudest sections. Soft clip on, subtly, just to round peaks. Then add a very light saturator, 1 to 3 dB of drive, soft clip on. The goal is not distortion. It's harmonic loose so the two layers feel like one instrument. Finally, utility. Keep the low end mono. If your utility has bass mono, set it so everything below about 120 Hz is mono. If it doesn't, your rule of thumb still holds. Don't let the low end spread wide. Now let's talk MIDI, because the vibe is in the programming. Old school rolling bass is repetition with micro variation. You're not writing a symphony, you're building a hypnotic engine. Try a one bar pattern where you hit on beat 1, then a short note around 1.2, then leave space into the snare. Then do two quick pulses around 3.3 and 3.4, and leave some air around beat 4. That silence is not empty, it's what makes the next hit feel heavier. Two key details. First, keep the pressure notes slightly shorter than the sub notes. Think of the sub as the bed, and the pressure layer as the tongue. The tongue speaks, but it doesn't need to hold forever. Second, use velocity as tone control, not just loudness. Map velocity to filter cutoff in wavy double so harder hits get slightly brighter. That makes accents feel like more pressure, not just more volume. Now, extra coach note, think in pressure pockets, not one big EQ boost. In classic rollers, some notes lean more into 140 to 220 Hz, while other notes lean into 220 to 320. If every hit has the exact same low-mid emphasis, it becomes a blanket of mud. So do this. Automate a tiny EQ bell on the pressure layer, plus or minus 1 to 2 dB, so different steps speak in slightly different pockets. It's subtle, but it's the difference between thick and professional thick. Another big one. Envelope timing is loudness. If your pressure layer decay is too long, it smears into the snare body. Too short and you get clicky ticks instead of push. Loop one bar. Watch the waveform if you need to. Shorten the pressure decay until it ends just before the snare's main body arrives. You'll suddenly hear the snare get bigger without turning it up, and the bass will feel tighter. Now, phase discipline between layers. Hidden loudness trick. Even with a high pass on the pressure layer, saturation and filter slopes can still create energy around 100 to 140 Hz. Put utility on the pressure track and try phase invert left, or phase invert right, one at a time, while the full mix plays quietly. Choose the setting that gives the steadiest low-end push, not the biggest peak, the steadiest push. If neither is better, leave it normal, but it's a fast check that can save you an hour of EQ frustration. Also, work at two monitor levels, At quiet volume, ask, does the bass still feel present without relying on sub you can't really hear? That's the low mid pressure test. At moderate volume, ask, does it start sounding boxy or overly forward? That's the overpressure test. Now arrangement. Make it evolve like a classic 16 or 32 bar narrative. Here's a simple 16 bar plan. Bars 1 to 4, sub plus pressure, filter slightly closed, darker. Bars 5 to 8, open cutoff by just 5 to 10%, maybe add a tiny bit more drive. Bars 9 to 12, add a small rhythm variation, like a half bar fill. Bars 13 to 16, reduce the pressure layer slightly or close the filter a touch to create tension before the next section. Automation targets that work really well for the style: small cutoff moves, saturator drive by 1 or 2 dB, tiny EQ bell changes around 200 to 250, and even adjusting sidechain threshold when the drums get busy. Advanced options if you want to go deeper. Try a parallel pressure smash return. Send the pressure layer to a return with heavy saturator, like 10 to 20 dB of drive, soft clip-on. Then EQ it so it's only mid-range weight. High pass around 150, low pass around 2K. Blend it super low, like minus 18 to minus 10 dB. You'll get menace and density without destroying your main tone. Try mid-side control on the bass bus with EQ8 in M/S mode. On the side channel, high pass at 200 to 300 so the sides don't mess with the low mids. Keep the punch in the mid channel, and if you want grit without fizzy top, do a multiband saturation rack on the pressure track. Split into low mid high bands and saturate only the mid band, roughly 180 to 380. That concentrates aggression exactly where pressure lives. Now, common mistakes to avoid. Don't let the pressure layer keep sub content. High pass it around 90 to 120. Don't crank resonance until it honks. Use resonance as articulation, even automated on only a few hits. Don't set sidechain attack to 0 or 1 millisecond. You'll delete perceived loudness. Don't blindly boost 250 to 400. That area is also cardboard. Saturate first, then EQ in context. And don't make low mids wide. Keep it mostly mono up through 150 or even 200. Let's finish with a quick practice routine you can do in 20 to 30 minutes. Build the sub anchor in operator and the pressure layer in Waveeatable. Program a 1-bar rolling pattern with 2 variations, and B. This audio version is shortened for playback.